talked about the dues of change, and we mentioned how change, when it happens, it's inevitable. Change happens to all of us. It stirs things up inside of us. It stirs up questions. It stirs up anxiousness. It can stir up fears, and it can stir up even doubt at times. It stirs up sorrow within us because of things that are anticipated but not realized, or things that we expect that didn't happen exactly the way that we expected them. It shakes things up. We talked about how change comes and it shakes things up, and sometimes that shaking, that rattling is very, very uncomfortable, but often it's needed to move us out of a place where we've been comfortable and been complacent or just been stuck in a rut, to use that phrase. And sometimes the Lord allows change to enter our life, and sometimes difficult change, because he wants to shake us up a little bit so that we're in a position so that we hear him more and we are able to go into a better position that he has for us. He alters our place sometimes in the midst of change. It also can wake up things inside of us, good things. It can wake up visions and dreams and things like that may have been settled and dormant in our lives, and change comes along and suddenly they're alive again in our hearts and our spirit, because we see there's opportunity for movement, there's opportunity for change. And change happens. And most of the time, I would say that change is out of our control, that we do not have the ability sometimes to affect change in our lives. Often we do, but sometimes change comes in a situation where we didn't anticipate it. It seems like it just happens. It comes and we're not expecting it. It's done by people or situations or circumstances that we have not had a part of, or very little part of, and we cannot control it. And our response to the change is what we have the ability to do. We have the ability to respond, and we talked about the do's and the don'ts of change, where we don't sin, we don't go in the natural flesh of sometimes that is roused up inside of us when change happens, but what we continue to do is righteousness. We continue to be who God has called us to be. We continue to walk in righteousness. We continue to reflect on the DNA of who God has created us to be spiritually inside of him. And we know those important things that we must continue to do. It's like in our own lives, if you haven't taken an inventory of the most important things in your life, the things that should never, ever change in your life, if you don't know what those are, when you're in the midst of change in your life, sometimes those get really blurry and you don't know. But God calls us to know this is who we are, this is our identity, this is who we are to be as righteous children of God, this is what we are to continue to do, and in the midst of change, we continue to do that. It's like what we said about this house, that even in the midst of change in this house and transition in this house, there's certain things that God has called us to do. There are certain behaviors that God has called us to be, those things of worship and word and believing in the wonder of his miraculous power active in our lives. That's who we are, and those things never, ever change. And in your own personal life, I hope you were challenged last week to even think about those things in your own life that in the midst of change should never change. Even though the circumstance may be different, it's like in my own personal life with my children are growing up, half of them are not here physically in this area, but there are things about the Moore family that never ever changes. Even though we may be physically apart from each other, one is going to school, one's working full time, and we don't get together as much as we would love to get together. But there are certain things in who we are, how we communicate to each other, the values that we share with one another. Those things never, ever change. Change always forces us to move above the natural if we allow it. In other words, we talked about change. To act righteously in the midst of change requires us to go beyond what happens naturally inside of our emotions. In other words, that is what is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit in the midst of change, is that I respond to change. I respond to the challenge of change above the line of what comes natural in my life. Everything below is what the natural man, my flesh, my emotions, the circumstances around me would cause me to respond to, act to, speak to, think about. That's where the natural man is. But the supernatural man is the one that responds above what comes natural. And that can only happen through the power of the Holy Spirit. We talked about the Spirit inside of us. In fact, Jesus instituted great change with his disciples when he said, I'm going away. I'm not going to be with you anymore. But it's to my advantage that I go away, because when I do, the Holy Spirit comes down. The Holy Spirit fills you up. The Holy Spirit leads you and guides you. And so that supernatural power, the wonder, if you were, of the Holy Spirit working inside of us, moves us and transcends us above what comes natural when change takes place in our lives. And we begin to respond in a supernatural way. Change always forces us to remove our dependency on someone or something or some institution. And if we let it, it will cause us to move our dependency upon those things that we thought were stable and move it upon God and to become more dependent upon him. To begin to trust him more. That our trust is now focused not on people, not on situations and circumstances, not on things that we thought would never ever change, but it causes us to trust him, the one who truly never ever changes. And you know, the Holy Spirit causes us to respond supernaturally, but it doesn't mean that it's not a tough place. It doesn't mean that it doesn't require a lot of going back to God and trusting him. I love the scripture verse where in the New Testament, a man was talking to Jesus, and Jesus says, do you believe? And he says, yes, I believe. Help me, Lord, in my unbelief. And sometimes that's the realistic thing. We sing the song, I believe in you. And sometimes it's like, God, I believe. Help me in my unbelief. I do trust you. I trust you in the midst of this change. God, help me to trust you. Help me to trust you, truly trust you. And I look at that, even that word trust, and I am just challenged in my own life, because I know that there's a spectrum of trust in my life, where on one side there's fear. In one spectrum of life, when change starts to take place, there's fear, the fear of the unknown. But if I truly trust the Lord, then I will be in peace. That's the opposite side of the spectrum. Fear on one side, peace on the other side. If I'm not fully trusting the Lord, on this side of the spectrum of my life, there's doubt. I don't get it. I don't understand it. I don't even know, God, if you're in this. That's the doubt that can happen. When I truly trust the Lord, on the opposite side is assurance. I'm assured of what I know, of who he is, of what he's promised. It's the assurance in my life. On this side of the spectrum, when I am not fully trusting the Lord, there is this tendency and this drive in me to manipulate situations and circumstances and people and things, because I feel like when I don't trust God, I feel like I have to make it happen. I have to make the change exactly what I think it should be. Therefore, I'm going to work really hard at making that change right. But when I trust the Lord, when I fully trust him, on this side of the spectrum of my life, there's rest. I don't have to make it happen. I trust the Lord that he is making it happen. He's doing his will. On this side of the spectrum, when I'm not fully trusting the Lord, my mind and my emotions and even my brain is not focused. I'm scrambled. I am totally a mess and not knowing what to do and how to do it and where to do it at and what to say and what not to say and all this kind of stuff in the midst of change on this side. But when I fully trust the Lord, God gives me a Holy Spirit focus. I hear his voice. I know what I am supposed to do. I know what he's called me to be and do. I know what he's promised and what he said. So there's focus. All of us in the midst of change are somewhere in that those spectrums. And if you're honest with yourself, in one particular area you may not fear, but you feel like you have to manipulate. And on another side, you may have perfectly rest. You feel like you can rest, but your mind is a mess, and you're wondering about all sorts of things, and you have no focus in your life. You see, change will cause us to be dependent upon he who never changes if we allow it. And so I feel just the Holy Spirit. I'm going to stop right here for a moment. I want you to think about the change that's taking place in your life, whether it's small change or big change. And I want you to be honest with yourself. And where are you on those spectrums? Where are you? Are you on the fear side or on the peace side? Are you on the doubt side or the assurance side? Are you on the manipulative side or the rest side? Are you on the confusion and the wandering side in your brain, or are you on the focus side? See, I can actually measure, if you were, my trust in the Lord by looking at those four things and asking myself, do I truly trust you? So Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you to come and to speak to my brothers and sisters right now in those areas of change that are going on in their life, whether they're small or they're big. And Father, may they be honest with you, and may they realize where they're at in those, particularly those four different areas. May they ask you, do I truly trust you, Lord? And Holy Spirit, this is a supernatural work that comes, that brings us peace in the midst of fear, that can bring us assurance where there's been doubt, that can bring rest into our hearts and our spirits when we felt the compulsion to manipulate, and where our mind is prone to wander. Father, you can bring focus. So Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you would do that for my brothers and sisters, for myself. Father, we say we trust you. May your Holy Spirit help us to live that out. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, change can often seem instantaneous because we really don't know what's going on behind the scene. In fact, God sometimes, oh, in fact, all the time, I believe, in our lives, when we are preparing, he's preparing a way, he's preparing a road, he's preparing us for change, and we don't even know it. And suddenly, it seems like change comes upon us, and we're like, wow, how did that happen? Where did that happen? It sort of reminds me of Christmas Day, when my kids were little. Christmas Day, they would come down the stairs, and they would see all the packages, because our tradition was that that we would have a few packages under the tree. Christmas Eve, they would go to bed. Christmas morning, they would come down. There'd be a presents under the tree. And sometimes there would be things like a trike or a wagon or a bicycle or something like that. And it's just this wonder, like, wow, look at this. Look what just happened. And they had no idea Dad was up to 1 o'clock trying to build something. Or we were wrapping presents. Or, you know, it's that, wow, this is instantaneous. Look, I now have a new bike. And it just happened. Boom. There it is. And sometimes we look at change like that, like it happens instantaneously. But God was preparing things before we even realized it. He was behind the scene doing something. And sometimes we completely forget that. We forget what God is, that God is actively involved in the change that we're experiencing right now. It's not happen chance. It's not circumstance. God is very, very much a part of the change that's taking place. Jesus, we used that as an example of how, last week, of how he changed everything. He came, he messed up expectations. He caused very uncomfortable change to take place in the establishment and even with those who followed him. He stirred up, he shook up, he messed up what people thought the Messiah was going to look like and what he was going to do. But God himself was behind the scenes in humanity, creating, moving things in a right order, using human events and even decisions and the consequences of decisions that humans were making. He used all of that to prepare the way for Jesus Christ. In fact, I love the scripture verse in Galatians chapter 4. I think it is verse 7 where Paul says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son." The fullness of time. There was something that was completed, which tells me there was something that had to be in order, placed in order, before Jesus was sent here to earth. There was a completion of time. And I think spiritually things were happening. You can go back, and I don't have time this morning, but you can trace even historically in the Old Testament how God used the actions of man. He used situations and circumstances both in the natural and in the spiritual in order to prepare and establish the time and the place and the moment when Jesus Christ would come to earth. And yet, it's also very interesting, and most of us probably have not thought of this, but as I was riding my bike yesterday afternoon, I was thinking of the fact of the Romans. The Romans were the ruling power in the world when Jesus came to earth. They established a lot of good things, a lot of not so good things. They stole most of their things from the Greeks. And I mean, it's just a bunch of things. And they were a conquering tribe. They went and they conquered lands. In fact, that's how they grew. They expanded their kingdom. But did you realize that in the fullness of time, when Jesus came to earth, the Romans, for the first time in history, had established a network of roads and transportation areas that hit most all the known world? The fullness of time. Why? Maybe because the Romans had to build the roads first. Because when Jesus began to preach and his disciples began to spread the gospel even after his death, there were roads and shipping lanes, there were ports, there were things that were established by the Romans so that the gospel of Jesus Christ would be penetrating all of the known world. God prepared a way. And sometimes we don't think of that. We think of the natural things as, well, that's not God, that's just man. God is in the actions of man. And sometimes in the midst of change, we forget that God is behind the scene making things happen for his purposes, his glory, his divine plan. And we can sometimes forget that. But he is behind the scene. God never changes. Yet God is constantly allowing us to be involved in change. And sometimes it's deep change. When I mean deep change, it's not the surface change. You know, like my clothes wear out and I need to get a new wardrobe. That's change. But moving, transitioning jobs, relationships, all of those things that are established deep change, maybe a new career, Maybe something inside of your heart where there is just change that is extremely deep that is happening in your life. God is behind the scene working on your behalf in the midst of that change. And sometimes we have no idea it's happening. We don't know what's happening. It's like me going to a restaurant. Don't you love going to a really, really nice restaurant and you order something and you don't know exactly what it is and it comes to the table and you go, wow, that looks great. Most of us would not like to have been back in the kitchen when it was being prepared because we couldn't have figured it out. We didn't know what was happening, and sometimes it's just downright ugly. But we are presented with this beautiful dish. It seems instantaneous. We order it, and then boom, there it is for us. But there's been behind the scenes things happening that we had no idea. And that's God sometimes operating in our lives, that we have no idea what he's doing behind the scene. But we know that a road is being prepared. The Old Testament is really a collection of God's love for humanity and his desire to bring redemption to his people. It's a collection of stories and miracles of God working in the manipulation of circumstances, and all for the sake of deliverance, all for the sake of redemption. You know, the story of Joseph who you know, was sold into slavery and then ended up being an official in Egypt, or Esther, whose actions and the course of history surrounding Esther totally changing the course of the Jewish history, the Jewish nation. And then I love 2 Kings, I think it's in chapter 2, where it's the story of Elisha. And Elisha is being attacked by the Syrians. You can read that story in I think it's the 6th chapter, where Elisha is, the armies of the Syrian king is coming after Elisha and his servants. And they wake up, his servant wakes up in the morning and he looks and they're surrounded. They're surrounded by the army of the Syrian king. And Elisha gets up and says, and he gives a prayer, says, God, open the eyes of my servant that he might see. And his eyes were open, and he suddenly saw horses and chariots surrounding Elisha. There was this massive spiritual army that was there on behalf of Elisha, but the servant never saw that until his eyes were opened. And may God help us in the midst of change in our lives, not to forget that something is happening in the spiritual. Something is happening that we don't see, we don't understand. And we might wake up and we look and say, this looks like a mess. What's going to happen? And may God open our eyes to see what he's doing behind the scenes, that we have absolutely no idea what God is doing, but he's doing something. He is active. In Isaiah chapter 43, and this is really just the final example that I have this morning, but in that chapter, the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. And the prophet Isaiah was speaking to them prophetically in this chapter and talking about their future, talking about what was going to happen. And even in the midst of a very tough circumstance and an uncertain place where the Israelites found themselves in captivity at that moment, Isaiah was speaking something that he saw that the Lord was preparing for his people. And beginning with verse 18, Isaiah was saying, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." Now, this is an interesting verse because there were moments when, if you know history, where God told the children of Israel to set up memory stones to remember, that there were certain points in the move of God in their life that God said, remember this, remember this. And yet here he says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. See, there's a point in the midst of change that we remember that God is good. We remember of his goodness and his power. We remember of what he has done in the past in our lives. We're not to forget that. But the point is we don't camp there in the midst of change. We don't stay stuck in the old things. Because God has something new. We're to remember and to give glory and praise, but we're not to stick there. We're not to stay there. In fact, we have to release it. We have to purpose ourselves to release the past, to release the things. It's like the manna. God showed that as an example when the children of Israel were in the desert. He gave manna for how long? How many days? How many days? Six days, but how much manna flowed down?
7 days
worth, but for one day only. In other words, they gathered that one day of manna. They couldn't rely on it. They couldn't store it up. Remember what happened when they tried to store it up? What happened? They're rotten. Yes. See, so God gives us what we need for the day. In the midst of change, sometimes we can camp on the old, and we say, okay, I trust in what you did in the past. Well, I trust that he's the same God who did that in the past. But you're doing a new thing. It's the same God. But I don't stay there in the past. Then the scripture goes on again, the 43rd chapter. It says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. The new thing, springing forth. I get this picture in my head of the time, and my gardens, God bless my family if they had to rely on me providing food and gardens. But there were moments when I would plant things, and it's really interesting. You take the seed, and you plant it, and you water it, and for a long time, there doesn't seem to be anything happening. And then suddenly, you see it start to spring forth, spring up. And isn't that like the Lord, what he's doing in the midst of change? You see, behind the scenes, things have been planted. Things have been cultivated. Things have been watered. And suddenly, boom, we see it. There it is. It didn't just happen instantaneously. It happened because God was behind the scenes, planting, watering, cultivating, to the point where suddenly I now have the benefit of seeing the new thing, being part of the new thing. Shall you not know it? The scripture goes on. And then he says, I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beast of the field will honor me because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I give drink to my people, my chosen. This people I have formed for myself. They shall declare my praise. I make a road. See, sometimes in the midst of change, in the difficult times of change, it's very easy to look at the parched ground. It's very easy to look at the dryness and seemingly unbearing land, that it's not bearing fruit for us in any way. But God is behind the scenes. He is planting. He is cultivating. Something is going to spring forth. But in the midst, God is preparing a road in the wilderness so we know how to walk. And what to do and how to do it. He's giving us water. He is feeding us. He's providing for us, even in the midst of change, because he's not an absent God who is just trying to pull our chain and making change just mess us all up. He is actively working inside of our lives. He is active behind the scenes, being involved in everything that happens in our lives. We sing the song, "You're a good, good Father." And He is. "You do all things for my good." Do you believe it? He does. He is a loving Father that even in the midst of uncertainty, He's not going to give us more than we can bear. But yet He provides for today. His grace is sufficient for the day. For today. And so in the midst of change in your life, yeah, we must respond righteously. And the only way we can do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. We must respond righteously and in love. Because that supernatural righteousness can only happen when it's accompanied by supernatural love. And that in the midst of change, never forget that God is doing something behind the scene. And you may not see it for a long, long time. You may not understand it. It may not seem like anything is happening, but it is. He's constantly working for our good. So, Holy Spirit, I thank You. Father, I thank You that You trust us enough to walk us through change in our life, so that in the midst of change, we reflect Your glory. We reflect Your righteousness. We reflect Your love. I thank You, Lord, that You do not place us in times and in seasons of change because You just want to confuse us or You just want to make things hard for us. But Lord, in the midst of change, You are moving and You are shaking and You are stirring things up and You are active and You are alive and doing things that we can never comprehend or understand. Father, in the midst of change, may we trust You, even when we don't understand, even when we don't see things happening. Holy Spirit, I ask You to speak to my brothers and sisters this morning. Very specifically, in the areas of your life where change is taking place, let the Holy Spirit speak to you this morning. Maybe it is, once again, that area of trust that you need to trust Him more. Maybe it's that area of doubt where you have sort of given up that anything good was going to come out of the change. May the Holy Spirit show you that He's prepared a road, that He's giving water in the desert, and that there will come a moment when you'll see it spring forth and you'll go, "Ah, I see it. I see it. I see it. I didn't believe it, but I see it." Father, I ask You that we would be people who are always aware that You are a good Father and that You're working everything out for our good. And that there will come a moment when we'll look back and we will see what the Lord has done. Thank You, Lord. Would you stand, please? Father, I thank you for this people. I thank you for my family here. I thank you for what you're doing in them, because I know you're doing a lot, because you love them. You love us. You love this house. And you love us enough not to keep us stuck where we're at. But you are moving us. You are shaking us. You are giving us a picture of things that we have never seen before. And it is good. And so, Father, in the midst of change, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of even times of doubt, Father, may we be your children who trust in you. And may we sing forth your praise, because every day you give us grace to live. Every day you supply all of our needs. Every day there is your manna for us. We believe it for today, and we expect it for tomorrow as well. In your name, Lord, amen, amen. God bless you all. Have a great day. It's a mystery how you gently lift me.